are listening to the Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart. Welcome to another edition. Today I wanted to talk about expanding school choice in Iowa. There was a bill filed last week in the House Education Committee. The sponsor is State Representative Walt Rogers. He's the House Education Committee Chair. He's a Republican from Cedar Falls, House District 60, I believe. His bill basically would do a couple things. It's entitled the Iowa Student Opportunities Act. It would create a education savings grant program, and then it would also expand Iowa's charter school laws. This is a pretty big bill, I mean, as far as length and a lot of detail. I talked with a couple people yesterday about this bill, each having a different area of expertise. To discuss the education savings grant program, I had a conversation with Trish Wilger. She's the executive director with Iowa Advocates for Choice in Education. And then to discuss charter schools, I had a phone conversation with Mark Jacobs, who's the founder and president of Reaching Higher Iowa, who's very familiar with current charter school law and this particular piece of legislation. This is a very important week in the Iowa legislature. It's for the first funnel week. So bills, except for appropriation bills, in order to survive, need to pass a committee vote this week, and then they stay alive at least until the second funnel week. So anyway, without further ado, first a word from our sponsors and then on to these conversations.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's AmericanPrinciples, P-L-E-S, Project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a life insurance plan that makes sense for you, call my friend Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. That's Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
And we are back. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Trish Wilger, Executive Director with Iowa Advocates for Choice in Education, to discuss the Education Savings Grant Program that will be created by House Study Bill 651. Hi, Trish. Hey, thank you for taking time to talk to us about school choice in general and this new bill that was introduced in the Iowa House HSB, whatever that stands for. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but House Study Bill 651. Yeah. So it's the Iowa Student Opportunities Act. First of all, why should we pursue school choice?
Well, it's very important to bring choice to all families. Currently, you have families who have a choice or a good choice simply because they live in a neighborhood with a strong public school, or they have enough income that they can afford to send their child to the private school that they would like them to go to, that they feel best meets their child's needs. But we have a large sector of lower income and working class families who don't have that choice. They're assigned to a local public school and they can't afford any other options. So they just have the one option. And though it might work for a lot of people, it doesn't work for everyone that might be assigned to that school.
I always had basically a school tuition organization tax credit for how many years now? It's been
12 years now almost.
okay. And how is that, I guess, while that's been helpful, it's still kind of limited. How many what has been the cap on that in the past few years? And
The cap on the available tax credits that a donor might earn for contributing to the program has been capped at $12 million statewide, and that's been since the 2013 session that was established. It had grown from an original $2.5 million, but it's been stuck at 12 for quite some time now, and it doesn't even come close to meeting all the need that is out there. STO funds have been phenomenal, and they've helped a lot of families have a choice in education, but it's just not enough to meet everyone's need.
Right. So this new bill, it suggests creating a education savings grant. Could you talk to us about how is that different than vouchers, and how does that get around the Blaine Amendment that Iowa has?
Well, a voucher typically allows for one type of education, and that's at a brick and mortar school. A voucher goes directly to the school, and the family comes to that school. By contrast, an education savings grant would allow money to be used for a wider variety of approved education expenses. And a parent is really in the driver's seat on an education savings account. That money is deposited into an account, and the parent can decide what approved expenses they're going to fulfill out of those funds. They might choose private school tuition, they might choose an online course, they might choose some supplemental tutoring and things of that nature. So a parent can really make some choices and maybe do kind of an a la carte selection from a few choices to educate their child in the best way possible.
Now, this particular bill, previous bills have been a little bit broader. This one is basically targeting kids coming out of public school or kindergartens going into school, and headed towards a credit either through the Iowa Department of Education or independent accreditation, non-public school, correct? It's not for families, to leave public school and start competent private instruction.
That's correct. Yeah, this is a more limited bill, smaller scale. We're thinking of the state budget situation that we're
Right.
dealing with here and trying to come up with a good way to begin to give some families more choices out there than have them presently.
Okay, so what kind of, as far as a fiscal impact, has a fiscal study been done, or I guess you get the bill's just been filed, so they're probably still working on that, correct?
Right, the fiscal study is not back out yet.
Okay. But essentially, as far as new money, we're really only talking about kindergartners coming into the system. But then again, I would argue those if they're heading to public school, the state would be paying for them anyway, right?
Right, and that's kind of the concept of for the bulk of the students that might take the education savings grant. They are students for which the state was paying that portion anyway.
Okay, and as far as who's going to manage the education savings grants, and how would that work if somebody's approved? I mean, can you kind of walk through the mechanics of this?
Yeah, the families would have to apply for an education savings grant, and I believe under this bill it's by March 1st of the preceding year. And it's the Department of Management that is involved with administering the program, figuring out the funding and getting that established and overseeing the program.
Okay. And it's just for 1 year at a time, and they can renew once they've been accepted.
Yes, that's correct. So, for example, if a child comes in at kindergarten and receives an education savings grant, then they will be eligible to reapply again for first grade and so forth as they age up through the system.
The bill's going to be heard in subcommittee on Tuesday. I'm just kind of curious, what do you think the likelihood of it making past subcommittee, as well as when it goes into the larger House Education Committee? Do you think its chances are good to see getting a floor vote this year?
I think there's a good chance that the bill will make it through the subcommittee hearing tomorrow. I think there's a decent shot that it would make it out of the Education Committee in the House. And beyond that, I think chances are good, but kind of cautiously optimistic at this point is the best way to sum up my feeling on how it will do on the floor and beyond.
Right. Well, I definitely know pressure is being brought to bear on legislators from, you know, Des Moines Register, from teachers unions, from a lot of people who'd rather not see this kind of bill move forward. What would be your rebuttal to them when they're saying, hey, this is going to hurt public education, this is going to take money away from our from K-12 education? You know, because we're hearing a lot of that rhetoric being thrown around when it comes to school choice. And you know, they'll say, hey, Trish, you just want to destroy public education. Is that true?
Right. No, it is not true at all. I think in other states that have robust school choice programming in effect of lots of different varieties, for example, Florida or Wisconsin, Georgia, I think the studies have all shown that for the students involved, they see improvements in academic performance, parent satisfaction goes up. And it also has a good effect on children who remain in the public school as well, to have that competitive setting and a lot of options for parents to choose the best fit for their child. As far as the funding goes, Iowa actually has, in a recent study that came out in November by the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, it showed that Iowa was fourth in the nation, actually, in the increases in funding, school funding levels since 2008. So that was encouraging to see that Iowa is still funding public education. And we do want to see that public education succeeds and that children there succeed as well. But we think it's not always the best fit for everyone. And we can afford to give some resources to non-public options, and we've got some great ones in the state, non-public schools and homeschooling and virtual schooling opportunities that are out there, you know, and now we're looking at expanding charters with this bill as well. So it's certainly looking, the goal is to give choice to families, give opportunity to kids to be in the school that best fits their needs. And there's plenty of funding and talent and all those types of things to enable lots of different options to succeed and do well.
Excellent. Well, hey, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. And we'll look, keep tracking this bill, and hopefully you guys see some success this year. But thank you for your time.
Thank you, and thanks you for having me on, Shane.
Not a problem. Take care.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.
Up next is my conversation with Mark Jacobs, the founder and president of Reaching Higher Iowa, to discuss the charter school expansion under House Study Bill 651, the Iowa Student Opportunities Act.
Oh. Hey, Mark, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us. House Study Bill 651 expands charter schools in Iowa, and I just wanted to ask you, first of all, what's the current law? What does the current law say now, and what difference would this bill make?
Well, Shane, as you highlighted, Iowa currently does have a charter school bill that was passed back in 2006. The National Alliance of Public Charter Schools every year ranks states that have charter bills, ranks how good of a bill theirs is, and they just came out with their rankings for 2018, and Iowa ranks 41 out of 45. So there's 45 states that have charter bills, and we are number 41.
I think
we, and is most go ahead.
We have like three in the state, right?
We have three, and actually one of those is announced are going to close, and so we're going to have two. And so the fact that we only have two is not a reflection that charter schools don't add value, can't play a role, can't be successful. It really represents that we have a legislative framework that does not give charter schools an opportunity to be successful.
And how would this bill change that?
So there's a couple key things. There's some significant problems in Iowa's current charter law. Number one, the law does not provide adequate flexibility for charters to operate. And secondly, it does not have very strong accountability provisions. And this is one of the areas in other states where you've seen states have some problems if there aren't strong accountability provisions in the charter bill. And for those that may not be as familiar with charter schools are public schools. Mm-hmm. But the grand bargain in the charter school world is charter schools are afforded more opportunity and flexibility and autonomy in how they operate. And that is in exchange for outcomes-based accountability. So that charter school operates under a contract. That contract will contain performance criteria like the rate of annual growth for students, attendance, graduation rates, and the likes. And if that charter school doesn't meet those performance criteria, the school is closed.
Okay.
And the importance of that is that that provides a very strong incentive for that charter school to be successful, irrespective of the challenges a child may have. And so charter schools are highly incentivized to help children overcome any obstacle that there is to learn. The other area that is problematic in Iowa law is that today, if you wanted to start a charter school, you would have to go to the school district in which that school would reside.
Okay.
And basically ask their permission, if you will, or get approval from that school district to start a charter school. And so as you might expect, you know, a lot of the high quality national networks, operators of public charter schools just feel like it's kind of pointless to go ask a school district if they could start a school in their area.
And because they probably say no, right?
I think high likelihood, again, that you know, school district really wouldn't be incentivized to have, if you will, you know, another party come in and start serving their children.
Okay, so who could start a charter school under this new bill?
So under the new bill, there's basically three different ways a charter could start. The first way is if a school district wants to identify a third party group to operate one of their schools inside of the school district as a charter. That school district would be empowered to authorize a charter operator to come in and operate that school for them. A second way that charters could be started is the school district itself could decide that they want to operate one or more of their schools under the charter format and take advantage of some of the additional flexibility that is under the law. And in that instance, that school district could go apply to the State Board of Education to receive that charter license. And then the third way a charter school could get started is if a third party decided to go directly to the State Board of Education and request a charter.
And then that could they could pretty much be located anywhere, and kids can, you know, regardless of district, could attend, correct?
Correct. And one of the ways I think about school choice here is that, you know, the traditional public school system has educated, is going to continue to educate the vast majority of children. But I think it's also fair to say that there's a lot of unmet needs out there today. And one of the ways that I think about school choice is it's really an opportunity to help build additional alternatives for our children so that we can meet more unmet needs. And if we're able to do that and provide every child access to a high quality education that fits best with them, you know, we're gonna do a better job serving the children of the state, and ultimately that's gonna pay off in terms of economic growth in the state. It's gonna pay off in terms of reduced amount of social support services that are required.
Great. So, you know, I was just thinking about when you're talking about the different ways somebody could, you know, start a charter school. You mentioned that the school district could have a third-party group take over one of their schools. Is that kind of what New Orleans did after Hurricane Katrina? Because the charter schools kind of exploded down there, right?
They did, and after Hurricane Katrina here had a very significant impact on traditional public schools. Today, about 90% of the schools in New Orleans are charter schools. One of the things that's interesting there is that they compete for children, and they compete for children on their ability to deliver results in the classroom. So a very different model here than what, you know, we have in Iowa today, where children are zoned to a traditional public school. And while there is some choice in terms of open and roll out, those alternatives today are more limited, substantially more limited than what we find in other states.
What's your sense as far as the how successful you think this bill will be this year in the Iowa House? I know it's got a subcommittee meeting on Tuesday. I suspect they'll definitely get through the subcommittee. Do you think it stands a good chance to make it through the House Education Committee?
Well, I'll leave the political prognostication to others. But, you know, what I would tell you from my standpoint is that one of my great frustrations here is that Iowa's lost its leadership position in K-12. When I graduated high school, we were one of the top two or three in the state, and today we're middle of the pack, not because we've gotten worse, but we're about dead last in the nation in terms of improvement. And one of the things that's happened is other states have significantly improved and passed Iowa by. And one of the reasons that I believe that that has happened is because of the lack of choices available to parents and students. And I think, you know, if our legislators step back and have the, you know, best long-term interest of Iowa and our children, and they put that in the forefront as opposed to prioritizing the system, I feel very good about the prospects of moving forward with this legislation.
All right. Hey, Mark, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
You bet. Happy to be on. Thanks so much, Shane.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
And that concludes this episode of the Caffeinated Thoughts podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you're listening to this podcast somewhere other than on our website, please check out caffeinatedthoughts.com. Again, that's caffeinatedthoughts.com. You can Google Caffeinated Thoughts, and it'll show up at the top of your search screen. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, sign up for our emails. We don't want you to miss a single update from us. Hey, this is Shane Vanderhart again. Until next time, my friends, take care. God bless.